Okay, let's all stand before we get to listen to Sam this morning, and let's open with a word of prayer, all right? Father, once again, we come before you, and we thank you for our gathering. We thank you for bringing everyone here safely. We thank you for the new ones that are here this morning and for them coming to be with us. And we just pray your blessing over everything. We ask you to bless those who prepared that wonderful meal for us this morning, and be with Sam now as he delivers the morning message for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I just want to mention just one little thing before we get started. You can sit down. When we kind of ended our message last night, I realized that we're very informal here. I get it. We're sitting in front of tables and that. But let's be awful careful about being respectful to the speakers and to the word, and let's listen just attentively. We've already heard a little bit from Sam and Trish this morning, and it's always great to hear what they have to say. But I'm anxious to hear what Sam has prepared for us this morning. So this is Sam Britton from Missouri Liberty Radio.
All right. First of all, I want to say how thankful I am to. Be here and to come to finally visualize the kingdom. It's a long struggle when you come from the environment in which you're not raised in a Christian home to the point where I am now. So I thank Charlie and Teresa and everybody. You know, Ted, since we brought Ted on board. The radio station, when we do the, we play the sermons, is as much a ministry to me as it is to all of you out there. We don't just broadcast it and just send it out and not pay attention to it. We listen to it. In fact, I can't tell you how many times Trish and I will go and we'll lay down in bed. And first thing we do, after my show is over, is we have Charlie on the radio. We listen to Charlie. And of course, before I come on, Ted comes on and we listen to Ted. And the beautiful thing is that if you hear a message in the morning and you miss it, we replay them again. So I don't know how many of you know that if you should happen to miss the morning sermons, we rerun them again. For those of you that are in the central time zone, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ted comes on at 5 p.m. on the second replay, the second run of his broadcast, and then I come on at 6, go off at 9. This is all central time, and then Charlie comes on after me, and so it's great to be able to hear those messages. And one thing I want to mention, Charlie, I don't know if you were around the time this discussion came up, about maybe potentially taking, and I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to work it out, but where there's a will is a way, and that is taking those sermons and airing them some point during the week, because during the week you got a totally different audience than you do on the weekend. So, you know, that would be one way of further promoting, you know, the kingdom message. So that's something that we'll be looking into as well. All right, first of all, one thing that I'm so proud to see, and I'm proud in a strange way, a humble way, and that is the fact of having to get to know all of you that are part of the Ecclesia movement here, I guess, shall we say, or whatever. Sometimes it's hard to come up with the right words. But having gotten to know Charlie and Teresa and his family, and it's such a wonderful thing to see all the offspring thrive with no vaccines. And it proves that the shots are absolutely not necessary. Absolutely not necessary. The one thing that really irritates me worse than anything and I hear this throughout the week as we're broadcasting on Missouri Liberty Radio, is the discussion of the shots will invariably come up since we've had the COVID thing go down. And you always hear somebody say, well, I'm not anti-vaccine. And of course, the first thing I want to do is say, so what? So what if you are anti-vaccine? I'm anti-vaccine. Do I want to take something that where the company is going to be totally immune from liability? I have a right to be anti-vaccine. And I know I'm in good company here. We have good reason to be anti-vaccine. If God intended for the body to have orifices to stick stuff in and just throw stuff in at will, he would have created orifices. He didn't do that. We have this right here to put stuff in, and then we have the other places to get rid of it. Clearly defined. And I've become more convicted of that as I've done. If there's anything this COVID thing has done, has convicted me more of that. But even before we get to COVID, I'm going to go back to some of the stuff that Trish and I went through back when we attended the schools for the blind. I had some discussion with some of you, at different times we've been talking here. And it's one of the things that we have known for a long time. None of the stuff that we're going through right now with COVID surprises Trish and I at all. Because the schools were a playground, the state schools were a playground for experimentation. Now, for those who don't know what the schools for the blind were like, they're boarding schools. If you could visualize just like this building here, if you could visualize this as a dormitory, which it is kind of a dormitory in a way, but I mean, certainly has a better environment than our dormitories did at the school. But the school for the blind, we stayed there, we ate there, we went to our various classes there, came back to the dorm, stayed there. The only time we were at home was during the key vacations like summer vacation, Thanksgiving, what the world calls Christmas, and so on and so forth. Other than that was the only time we were home, and what the world calls Easter. Of course, now they're even getting away from that. Now they call it spring break. So we stayed there. So it could be very, very strange in that kind of environment because you become estranged from your parents because you're not with them very often. So it's meant the state had you most of the time. And as such, the state could do pretty much whatever they wanted to do with you. I can recall going to the infirmary. Of course, when you're a kid, you trust people. You're not brought up to be as critical as I am now. You trust everybody. And your parents even trust everybody. Why? We'll send them off to school because they know better how to teach them than we do. And in some cases, it wasn't any better, and it wasn't any worse, depending upon the kind of home life you had. But anyway, so we go to the state schools, and the schools, whenever they called you to the infirmary for something, you just went. Because you didn't know it better. You think these adults are nice people. They don't have any ill intent. So you go. And I can remember one case in my particular situation of going and receiving 5 shots. Never did find out what they were. Later on, when I became an adult, I had some health issues, and I went to a doctor up in Kansas City, and she pulled the microfiche on all that stuff and started trying to dig into what those shots were all about. We never could find the answer. So we don't know what the state was doing. We were just supposed to go Monday through Friday for these 5 shots, and we were never told what they were. That was one thing right off the bat. And in Trish's case, fortunately enough, one of the house mothers in the dormitory stepped in her case, they wanted to do brain surgery on her to see why she wasn't growing. They didn't get away with it because finally her parents were talked out of it, and of course the parents stepped in, and of course that stopped that. But what I'm trying to point out is this is another way we know that when it comes to the little g gangs, I don't even want to call them governments anymore. They're gangs. They're no different, really, than the Crips and the Bloods, you know, in an urban city. They just have guns and they can do whatever, you know, the way they behave. And that's why, you know, some people say, you're just anti-government. You just want to overthrow. And I said, well, you got to have a government to overthrow first. So I just start referring to them as little G gangs anymore, because that's really what they are. You know, and particularly once you get the vision of the kingdom, and you start realizing what gangs they are, you realize that all their statues, as Charlie so much calls it, and I think it's a great term, it's great. They're entrapment. That's all they are. They're not really for the betterment of mankind. They're entrapment. Where God's laws, of course, are laws that create an orderly society. And that's one thing. The more I listen to the messages, that's one thing I've come to find out is, you know, is that if we could just get back to a godly kingdom, the freedom we would have would be absolutely out of this world. But anyway, getting back to the blind schools, and the stuff I'm going to bring up to you is going to be stuff that is going to underscore why. And one good thing here, of course, is that most of you, none of you have kids in public school. Is there anybody here that has any kids in public school? I assume nobody.
No hands.
If you're going to be part of the kingdom, you certainly wouldn't have any kids in there. But what I'm going to tell you is some things that underscores why, if you know anybody that has their kids in public schools, they should be definitely getting them out. Because when you send them into a school, they are a ward of the state. And that goes for a public school, too. When you drop them off, you're basically saying to the state, meaning the feds in this case, because all the schools are now federally run, that they can pretty much do anything they want to do with them. And we're starting to see more and more of that now every day. One of the big things that is a big problem now in today's so-called school system is problems with what they refer to as public health becoming more and more fooling with the kids' mental stability. Now, I'm going to take you back to a time when we went to the school for the blind, in my case, and I don't know, Trish, you probably took that test too. Did you ever take, the MMPI.
I took that after I graduated from my junior year.
Right. MMPI stands for Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Index. And this test, I got to get through the crazy parts before we get to the funny part at the end. There's actually a funny part at the end. So it's not all, it's bad as you go through the test, but at the end of it, you just want to laugh and walk out and just say, you guys are so dumb, you know, when they give the test. But anyway, these tests are some of the most invasive with their questions. And this is back in the 60s. We're not even talking about what everybody's going through now with the schools. Parents in the public schools are now finally just starting to wake up. And of course, the schools have been having their way with them for a long time. And now the schools, you know, are basically saying, you know, we can do with your children whatever we want. The only problem is what the parents don't know is they're right if they keep sending them there. But anyway, in this case of this MMPI test, Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Index, this test is supposedly to figure out what you're best qualified for when you get out into the world, what best jobs you're qualified for, they claim. So anyway, I proceeded to take the test. And the test gets real, real strange and invasive. And they'll get into things like, are you in love with your bowel movements? Did you ever have fantasies about falling in love with your mother? Did you ever have fantasies about making love with your mother? I didn't answer one of them. Because I knew enough to know at that time that I would be probably either incriminating myself, whether I said no or yes. So basically the way I answered it, I said, I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer. But this is the kind of stuff that the state puts in these tests. So anyway, we get through the rest of the test, and that's just a sampling of the questions. I mean, there's other strange stuff in it too, but those are some of the worst ones. But we went through all this test. And of course, after you take the test, you're supposed to go on your merry way, and eventually they'll come back and they'll tell you how the test best scored in your personality index and what you're most qualified for when you get out on your own as far as a vocation, you know, as far as job training and whatever. So about 2 weeks later, I hear back from them. And so I go in there and I'm talking to the person that gave me the test. He said, guess what? I said, what am I qualified for in this test? He says, you're qualified for truck driving. And I just walked out. And so to this day, that's why I always love to tease people about you can let me drive if you want. I can't guarantee you what kind of a car you'll have when I'm done.
But you're qualified.
But I'm qualified. That's what they tell me. And to this day, I've been looking over online for that test, because if I ever find that test, I will send it to anybody who wants to see it for themselves and prove it. But to date, I've not found any place.
Well, they keep it a secret.
They do. I mean, it's probably buried in some vault in some state school somewhere, but to date, I've not found it online. Now, you can find references to it. If you go online.
You can find a newer edition.
Yeah, in which they removed a lot of that stuff later.
Yeah.
I don't know if enough people got outraged about it. But this is what I keep telling people all the time. This stuff I hear parents griping and complaining about in the schools today, all this push about transgenders and this shouldn't surprise anybody if they knew the stuff that we know.
And they can know it.
Sure they can. You tell most people about this stuff, their eyes just glaze over. And all of you sitting here are the only ones that I've been able to tell this to who really understand what's really going on better than most. Most people just glaze over when you try to tell them. And I'm just saying, well, if you don't pull your kids out of there, then don't go crying to me when things don't go so well. So basically, where we are now is, to date, I've never sat behind the wheel of a truck, so we'll get that out of the way right now. Nobody has ever contacted me and said, Sam, would you come down and fill out a form to be one of our drivers? Now, I have, however, how many of you guys ever received in the mail? They just send out these things, and, you know, I got to throw some humor in here, you know, because I got a warped sense of humor. It's
But they're fake keys to
go. You ever see these fake keys they send out in the mail? If this key fits a car, you know, whatever car, you know, down at such and such a dealership, then you will win the car, is the way it went. And I never took advantage of it, but I had a friend of mine there back in Owensville tell me, he said, we should go down to a dealership with you and try it. And he said, if you go down there and the key fits, then he said, well, you didn't say a blind person couldn't come down and try it. You just said that anybody wants to come down and try it if the key fits and they win the car. So if I go down, could I win the car? It's kind of a funny thing to think about. But Trish and I today are very thankful that we've come this far compared to where we've been. We've been through the churches. This is why Trish and I are becoming more and more understanding of the kingdom when you've been through so many of the churches. And they can never seem to explain away futurism. You know, I never could understand this big gap between the time when Christ was roaming the face of this earth as a man, you know, back when he was crucified and all that. Suddenly there's this big gap, and we're supposed to believe that in the future he's supposed to suddenly come back. And that never did make sense to me even before we got this far. But the problem is, when Charlie and I got acquainted back in 2008-2009, when Trish and I did the first radio show, started out on alternative car video and then went into the kingdom teachings. That's one thing about Charlie. Charlie always teaches kingdom wherever he goes. That's good. You have this thing, it's weird, where you don't, on the one hand, you don't understand the weird teachings of the church, but you have this Stockholm syndrome kind of thing. And so I can remember when Charlie first introduced me to the kingdom theology, I was very, very resistant to it. And because I just didn't see how it could be possible, you know, and all these, I had all these questions, you know, and so, but anyway, make a long story short, over time, I finally, through doing more studying, and then eventually when Charlie and Trish and I all reconnected. Charlie, when did we reconnect? Back in 2014? Was it 2000 or earlier?
It would have been, it would have been back around 2015. It was
2015,
about,
yeah.
It was about 6 or 7 years.
It would have been after you got out of, when you had gotten out of the their jail. And we did the first radio show, I think it was after you got out, if I remember correctly. And by then, I had been reading some of the stuff from people like Gary DeMar online and people like that. And that was enough, although Gary DeMar doesn't quite push the kingdom teachings, but he is good on fulfilled Bible prophecy. And that was enough to get me started, and the rest was history when we all got back. And then now I'm to the point where we come to these conferences. The more we come to them, the more I look forward to coming, because I have more in common with a lot of you here than I do, you know, with even the people back where we live. And so that is one of the things that I really am very thankful for, that I could come from the background that I came from. In my case, I had alcoholic parents. I was not raised in a Christian home, but the fact that I could come around and even get to the point where I am now is a real blessing from the Lord. And I just simply want to leave you with this, and that is, when you think it's bleak, never give up on somebody, because even Charlie never gave up on trying to wake me up to the kingdom teaching. And sometimes it just has to fester, you know, sometimes you just plant a seed and it just has to fester. That's what happened with me. The seed was planted. At first it didn't take root, but then over time it gradually started taking root, and now here we are. And then, of course, the next big thing, thank you, Ted, on this one, and that was the issue of the Constitution, because I was big in the Constitution as well. Once I heard Ted's messages, and then, of course, Charlie sent me Patrick Henry's. Have any of you guys seen the Patrick Henry Against the U.S. Constitution? It's a long read. We've done the whole thing on my show just to wake up a lot of the listeners to my broadcast, because, you know, there's a lot of other people besides those of us that are of the kingdom mindset that listen. So we played the entire thing back on the air. And I had to play it twice to get it. First time I didn't fully get it, but the second time I did get it. And so I have to thank both Ted and Charlie on that one, because I was an avid believer in the Constitution. But I think the other thing that helps too is we've got to get to a point where we understand that I don't care who it is that gets in some sort of political office, they're a man, and when they're a man, you put your faith and trust in the man who's going to disappoint you every time. We're finding that out more and more and more. So, never give up. If there's somebody that you truly care about, I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you how to work with them, because on the one hand, you don't want to push them away, but yet on the other hand, you definitely want to try to lead them to the kingdom teaching. And just wherever they're receptive, just take advantage of it. If you're not on my email list for the broadcast and you want to be on it, let me know. I just had a case this past week where I just about had it up here with the people not believing in fulfilled Bible prophecy. And the Patriot Movement is full of those people. And so I got to thinking about it. So the first thing I did was I got my rant on the radio show. Radio shows are great for rants, if you want to step up the chat. But then I still wasn't done. So I proceeded to send out the email. And I ranted in the email, and then I pasted in from the King James Bible Online, I pasted in Matthew 16 through 28 into that email and fired it out. Now, what's really strange about it is you would have thought, with the diverse amount of people I have on that list, because they're not all kingdom people. There's a lot of people there that are patriots on that list. I never heard one complaint when I sent it out. Now, there's one of two things that could have happened. One, they could have just ignored me. Or two, gave me something to think about. We'll find that out when I get back home. But if any of you want to be on that list, you just go to our website, which is molibertyradio.us. And there's a contact link there. You can send us an email through there, and I will just express that you want to be on the list. And basically what the list consists of is, after I do a show, I send out the link to that broadcast for those who want to hear it on demand. And then I send out topics of what we talked about along with news articles that we covered, because we do cover the news. And the way I approach my show is a little bit different than a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff that's wrong going on out there in the world. And I want to try to be, wherever possible, solutions focused. And of course, you know, the kingdom teaching is the premier solution. But on the other hand, in order to not get entrapped in various pitfalls, you need to know what's going on around you. And so I do send out news articles to try to keep people informed of what's going on, you know, as far as what's going on. But one of the things, and this is another reflection of where my radio show has taken a turn. There was a time, one time, I would have never got into these discussions. Never. And with the changes that have gone on in my life, and they're still not done, Yahweh's always molding you. He's always molding you as you start to grow. Now I'm not afraid to discuss it at all. And I think a lot of that reason was prior to understanding the kingdom teaching was because I didn't really have any means by which to really, an understanding enough to really explain anything. And the one thing that the kingdom teaching has given me is the ability to understand things in a more clear manner, as opposed to the strange stuff, the strange teachings you see out of futurism. And so we get into all that stuff. There's nothing that I don't cover on that broadcast, and I welcome anybody that wants to call in and just have some conversation. I welcome it. Now, one thing I want to bring up here is I would like to fill in my broadcast schedule with more of the kingdom teaching. Right now, we're looking at filling up the Sunday schedule. If you've ever considered doing a podcast or want to do a broadcast with me on a particular topic of the kingdom teaching, it would be nice to get together and discuss that and help you get set up so you can do it. One of the things I envision that I would like to see is any of the women out there, there needs to be teachings on things like kingdom motherhood. Now, I've been around here for these conferences enough where the things that I see since I've been at these conferences have been so wonderful. I've loved it. I'd love to see it shared with the world. I mean, I'll give you an example. Last conference we attended, I think it was last conference, this is the third one now, but I remember one of them we attended. It was up in and we're over there in the other building, and I can remember being in the conference room there, and we were at a break, and you had Jeff, and I don't know who else was helping in the kitchen, but there was several families there that had kids there. And I turned to Trish, and I said, one of the beautiful things is how well-behaved these kids were. Mom and dad weren't constantly having to look after them, see what they were getting into. They were in there. I think one of them was playing a little something on the piano or some sort of doing something in there. I can't remember now at this point, but I can remember they were all behaving themselves. They were very orderly. They were very decent. And what do you see when you go out in public? I almost don't even like to go into restaurants anymore because the parents don't discipline the kids. The kids are up running in the aisles. I've literally, in some restaurants, Trish and I've gone into, I've had to tell the waitresses, I said, you guys are either going to have to get a handle on this. I said, or one of these days, you're going to spill hot coffee or you're going to spill a plate of gravy on some kid, and the parents are all of a sudden going to start coming after you. And so far that hasn't happened, but one owner of a restaurant that we knew there in Owensville, kid got rowdy and broke a display case, and the parents actually had the nerve to want to sue the store after the kid broke the display case. I say, man, what an upside down world. When I grew up, if I did something, I got into mischief and I broke something, we were made to be responsible. And my parents made doggone sure that we weren't going to be breaking nothing. So this is the upside down world we live in. But I just want to say that the idea of kingdom motherhood is something I would love to see somebody take on and broadcast, put together some sort of a podcast. So if there's any of you ladies that are interested in it, you ever want to consider doing it, I know your plates are probably full trying to look after kids and various other things you got to do. I'd love to see that happen. That would be a wonderful thing. Because you'll be talking not only to fellow listeners that are kingdom listeners, but you're going to be talking to people who have never heard that message. And it's a message from your standpoint that needs to be heard. And so basically what I'd like to see is I'd like to see us get more than just Charlie and Ted doing this. I appreciate the work they put into this. I always know when Charlie's getting ready for his messages because that server that I use, Charlie, that you post on, emails me every time you upload something. And so I'll see the emails come through and I go, Charlie's hard at work. But I'd like to see other people get involved. And it's not real hard to do a podcast. I mean, even if you have just a headset with a little mic on the headset, there's if you know, if you want to get into that, let me know, and I can kind of clue you into stuff that you can do. But, you know, we have several ways you can do it. We can have you record something and just, I could set you up an account on my server where it would just be uploaded to me. Then we would put it in the queue and it would play back at whatever time we drop it in the queue. The other thing that we have, which is a wonderful thing, because we don't have to reach out to Skype and these various other worldly services like Microsoft and so on and so forth to do what we need to do. Trish and I were made aware of a program called Team Talk. And in my personal opinion, once you get it set up, it's better than Skype. It's wonderful broadcast quality audio and everything else. But the point I'm making out of all this is that not only can you use that to connect with me directly and do a live show, but if we ever wanted to have a roundtable discussion of some sort, we can have as many as 3, 4, 5, 6 people in there. I've got the bandwidth to support it, at least where I am now. And so that is another way that you can do it. The Team Talk program is free, doesn't cost you anything. Anybody ever want to explore getting into that and doing a broadcast with me? That way I can put you through into the sound just like you're sitting right in the studio with me. We have done live shows. I put Charlie, we did one live show. I don't know how many of you caught it. When was that live show we did with you, Charlie? There was one we did here a while back that was live.
Yeah, it was after all the court stuff ended.
Yeah. And it was wonderful. It was neat taking all the calls, and I loved it. It was great. It was an honor to sit in and run the board. Charlie just came in on this Team Talk program, and we put him through, and he could talk to me, and he could talk to the callers, and the callers could talk to him, and me, and so on and so forth, and it was just a great thing. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there, and you know, if we believe in what we believe in, then we need to use every way we can to share that. And I'm willing to provide the facilities to do it. And there's so much talent out there. I know some of you who listen to my show regularly know I just, here recently, once I started latching on to Michael T. stuff, I said, man, you know, I'd love to see this guy do a broadcast. Love to see him. Because he's certainly so good with his writing. You know, his writing is just, I mean, Michael T. can put something down in a way that, for all intents and purposes, if I wanted to, I could just play that one article and shut the show down early, because there's not much to be said after it's done. So that's just a sampling of talent that I'm talking about that resides within the kingdom, that needs to be heard in broadcast form. And so, like I said, I don't know how we want to do it. I don't want to pressure anybody into anything. It's something that God has to inspire you, but I just ask you to pray about it. And if God lays something on your heart that you think you could fill a niche, then contact me. We give our station phone number out all the time. And we have, of course, the molibertyradio.us website. The phone number is even on that page, on that site. So you can contact us through there, and we can set you up and do something. So anyway, I just close with a word of prayer, and we'll just bless the rest of the speakers today. Heavenly Father, we just come before you blessing, asking you to bless everybody here as the messages are delivered, that the messages will resonate in a way that's pleasing to you. And that you bless the speakers as they all come before us and speak to us today, and as well as through the rest of the conference. These things I pray in Jesus' holy, wonderful name. Amen. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't want to put pressure on you either, even though I do. From now on, though, if somebody, if I do talk to somebody and they tell me I can't, I'm not just going to say it. That'll be my response to anybody who says I can't. I'll just say, what's that, Sam? Sam? Okay, I want to try something just a little bit differently than what we have done, because I know it's so hard to just sit. So maybe some of you have questions for Sam. Instead of going into that right this second, remember your questions. We're going to take a 10-minute break. Then we'll come back and if you have any questions for Sam, we'll do that. Then we'll take another small break and then we'll get into our next message with Matthew. Okay? Let's just try that, see how that works, and we'll go from there. So come back in 10 minutes, okay? Thanks, Sam.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Okay, let me.
Do you want your cane back?
Yeah, hang on. Let me stop this. Get out of this so we don't record just background here.
Right there on the table.